This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about finding love. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Dating app companies collect a lot of data on their users, which they can study to find patterns or to improve their product. But that treasure trove of data is usually not available to outside scientists. Alan Yu has this story of two researchers who decided to create their own dating app.
Sociologist Elizabeth Brooke did not set out to study online dating. Instead, she used a focus on neighborhood segregation and residential mobility. She is interested in how people find opportunities, pick strategies, and learn from mistakes. Then she read about online dating data, and she realized the quest for love matches her research interests. At first, Elizabeth worked with dating app companies, but she never quite got to do what she wanted.
As a researcher, I've spent a decade of my life studying how people find partners online, and I have a lot of ideas about how to make it better.
But she could not get the dating app companies to implement her ideas. She says she cannot discuss specifics, but she had ideas about how to help people find partners and discover matches more easily.
I was very frustrated that there isn't a clear line of communication between the scientific community and people in these for-profit companies. And so I felt very stymied in my ability to develop, to have like a back and forth level of communication where the science can inform the app and the app can inform the science. That's really kind of the fantasy.
But the fantasy became reality when she found psychologist Amy Gordon. Amy studies dating and romantic relationships. And she also felt like something was missing. Her research is about couples who are already in a relationship, but she has not studied what happens at the start of a relationship.
And then the big missing piece, I think, in relationship science is people who study relationship formation, right? Why two people end up together, tend to be very different and doing research that's distinct from the people who study existing relationships, right? So those are almost two separate fields that rarely cross over.
Another big question, why people stay in relationships or not?
We know a lot about it. People have been doing this research for decades, but we still can't reliably predict whether any given couple is gonna stay together or not from a psychological perspective.
Amy and Elizabeth are both at the University of Michigan, and they realize that their research interests and academic disciplines match each other perfectly.
Amy and I have a lot of complementarities in our scholarship in the sense that sociologists focus all their attention on people's entries and exits into relationships. We spend much less time learning what happens while they're in those relationships. And psychologists sort of focus on what happens when they're in them, but don't necessarily pay as much attention to the entries and the exits.
So they got together to form a research team and designed a dating app for students at the University of Michigan. They call it Revel. In some ways, it works like any other dating app.
You set up your profile, up to 5 pictures, your first name, a brief bio, 30 to 50 different questions. Fun ones like, what kind of pasta shape are you? There are ones about your personality or your drinking habits or your religion.
Your favorite places on campus, things to do in Ann Arbor and stuff like that.
But there are some differences. First of all, the students sign a research consent form before they create a profile. And they also answer questions that most other dating apps do not pose to users.
A lot of different metrics about who they are, their psychological experience, and their preferences in a partner, and their relationship goals, things that you might not typically collect in a dating app, but that we're interested in who they are and what they want when they first start using it, and that's something we can track over time.
And as students start using the app, matching and chatting with people, they can fill out more surveys.
Questions that ask them how excited they are about that person, how similar they think they are to that person. And that allows us to collect psychological experiences that you can't get just from the behavioral piece of it, that is what is typically the data you get from a dating app.
For instance, unlike other dating apps, their app would ask users why they chose to say yes or no to a particular person. The goal is to collect data from people before and during relationships. Amy says a big selling point is that unlike commercial dating apps, they are not trying to make money from their users.
For us, the profit is the science, and our hope is to use that science to help people have better relationships, right? Better dating experiences, and feed it back into the app, both in terms of people's user experience in the app, but the knowledge that we can pass on to them as well.
I spoke to a few other researchers in this field, and they all like this idea. Luke Brunning is an ethicist at the University of Leeds in the UK. He studies ethics and philosophy as it relates to love, sex, and relationships. Luke says the idea of a non-profit research dating app is interesting because it could help users learn more about themselves.
Apps have all of this data on us and our preferences and how we behave, what we appear to like, and they don't give us that data. And it'd be really interesting from a user point of view to have a better sense of like how I actually behave when I'm swiping or when I'm talking. You know, I might think I'm really great, but actually I'm not. Or I might think I'm, you know, good at communicating, or like I don't have a racial preference or something, or a preference for height, but actually I do. And so like there's this kind of data gap that I think a non-profit app in particular could help bridge.
Sociologist and relationship expert Jess Carboneau used to do research at Tinder and Bumble. She applauds Amy and Elizabeth for making their own app to collect data that online dating companies would not share with researchers. And she says it will be very exciting for the team at the University of Michigan to study relationships over time.
And that's something that, you know, when I was at Tinder and Bumble that I wanted to do and didn't have the capacity to do as much. And that's certainly something the researchers at Michigan can do by virtue of having them confined to a college campus. You know, in theory, they could also follow them over time if they wanted to create a cohort and follow these individuals after they graduated.
But she says there are also different limitations the researchers will have. People will probably be between the ages of 18 to 30. They may not be looking for long-term relationships and may be more focused on school. And she has another question.
On the dating apps, I think most people might understand that their data are seen, but they don't believe that they're being studied in the same way, in the way that if people have an understanding that they're being studied online, will they behave differently? I don't know.
To that, clinical psychologist Alexandra Solomon says the researchers will be just fine. She says the research dating app is a little like her working with a therapy client when they are in a relationship.
Them knowing that I'm in it with them actually forces them to narrate their experience. It forces them to have part of themselves in the experience and part of themselves observing and translating the experience to me, their therapist. And that is how you build self-awareness. That's how you build introspection. And those are essential skills, not just for dating, but for sustaining a lasting relationship.
She teaches a popular course called Marriage 101 at Northwestern University in Illinois. And she says the research dating app might actually help people who are looking for dates.
Dating is incredibly confusing. It is inherently anxiety-provoking. And one of the ways that human beings best cope with anxiety and uncertainty is by being helpful. And so these daters then get to say to themselves, I'm being helpful to the, you know, to the world of science. I'm being helpful to these researchers. I'm being helpful to other future daters by giving a little bit of a window into my process.
Revel, the research dating app at the University of Michigan, has been available as a beta since December. Amy and Elizabeth say they already have a few hundred users and more than 100 matches.
We hope to actually bring people into the lab for their first dates as well, that we can get a better sense of what this is and understand better who we end up forming relationships with.
A first date in your lab?
Yeah.
Is your lab a very romantically decorated or?
It does have plants. So we also have a fast food lab downstairs, and I was chatting with that faculty member who studies eating behavior the other day, and she said that she would be happy to collaborate and let people have their first dates in her fast food lab.
She says this isn't a completely unheard of idea. She already has couples do activities in her lab, while her research team tracks how they are thinking, feeling, and behaving with surveys, scientific instruments, and recordings. The ultimate goal is to figure out what predicts chemistry and compatibility. The University of Michigan has tens of thousands of students across three campuses, so Amy and Elizabeth could have a very large research pool. They plan a full release for the app in the fall.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.